Right there, no matter how you look at it, amen? Tell you what, I appreciate the folks that play instruments and all that, but I'll tell you, there's nothing about folks just being a cappella, get a hold of God and hang on for the ride, amen? Amen. God sure has been good to us, amen? It's good to be back here again, and thank the Lord for the opportunity. Some folks say it's good to be anywhere, amen? You know, folks are running around in so much fear today. Not too long ago, I was up the Walmart up home, and of course, everybody got to have a mask on, all that business. And I went down the aisle where it had all the detergent and all that stuff. And that place drives me nuts anyhow, because I got a real sensitive nose. You know what I'm saying? I'm walking down there, and I still got the mask on. I mean, it won't stop stink coming in. They think it's going to stop virus, right? But anyway, but I'm standing there, man. I can feel, you know how you feel a sneeze coming, and it's just like right there. And you're like, oh, man, oh, man. So I'm sitting there, so I sneezed, I held the mask, I sneezed, I was like, whew. And I looked over, and probably about from me to that guitar, there was an old lady standing there, she had her cart like this, her eyes were that big around, and she turned around and ran the other direction with that cart. I got to laughing so hard. I laughed for about 5 minutes, I couldn't get my, you ever just get like where it hits you, and you just can't quit? And then I looked up, and I started laughing again, I'm thinking, people walk by, probably think I'm nuts, that's alright, but. Oh, man. Fear, man. Thank God we don't have to live in fear. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to try to be a blessing this morning. I appreciate that message. I tell you, folks still need saved. Y'all know that, right? You know, one of the things with all this pandemic is it's a plandemic. But anyway, they've got so many people running around in fear. Christian people running in fear. Man, you're a Christian. What are you going to be afraid of?
Amen.
Some of you might remember Brother Estep. I don't know. Brother Estep was my pastor, my friend, my mentor. And he went home to be with the Lord here recently. But when he was sick, I called him to check on him, see how he's doing. And I said, here you're in a bad way, preacher. He had cancer real bad. He wasn't going to make it. And he said, oh, I'm fine. I'm thinking, you're fine. They told me you're dying. He said, oh, yeah, I am, but I'm going to go to heaven. He said, and he always said, he says to me, preacher, don't threaten me with heaven. He said, I'm going to heaven. I ain't worried about it. He said, I feel sorry for my wife also. You're going to have to deal with when I'm gone. He said, don't worry about me. I know where I'm going.
Amen.
You know, there's too many saints running around in fear.
Right.
What do you got to be afraid of?
Right.
Amen. It got nothing to do with the message, but it sounded good. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 24. The Bible says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway. Now, I was doing a message and I look at here and it said, listen, he says, we all run a race. If you're saved, you're supposed to be running a race. All right, so he said, so run. So my question to you is, are you running? So run. There's a lot of folks give up running. Give up running. You see, successful running means keeping your flesh in subjection. You need to run for God. There's a lot of folks, they'll run for a cancer benefit, a blood drive. People run for all kinds of reasons. What about running for God? Listen to me, I could sit down and write on a piece of paper a number of folks that I've known over the years that got on their face before God, surrendered to God to run the race for Him, and then got stopped. And now they're not running. Never even got out the starting gate. I know there's some men, they went home, Mama said, you ain't doing that. And he said, okay.
Amen.
They sit in the pew and they're there, but they're miserable because they ain't running.
Right, sir.
They ain't running. Hey, run for God, not from God.
Amen.
You say, I'm in church. I'm not running from God. Hey, you can run without getting out your pew.
Right, sir.
You realize every backslider gets away from God, backslides in the pew before they ever get out the door?
Amen.
They leave God in their heart before they ever get out that door. They're just looking for a reason, looking for an excuse to get out that door. And the devil's good at providing a little excuse here, and they're dumb. People say, so-and-so left church. Yeah, why did they leave? Dumb? Why? Listen, I'm telling you, in all these years of ministry that I've watched in churches all across America, people leave churches and very, 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 very rarely do they ever have a Bible reason. I'll tell you what they got a flesh reason. They got a flesh reason. They want to run. You young people in here, the devil wants to give you a flesh reason not run for him. See, he said, I therefore so run. Why? Bringing it into subjection. Listen, you better understand this if you're going to do anything for God. Your flesh is contrary to God. Your flesh don't like God. Your flesh wants to do what it wants to do when it wants to do it. And it'll tell you so. Amen. You need to run for God. Listen, if you're going to do any kind of running, and I can't do as much now, man. My ankles and knees won't cooperate with running anymore. But I used to love to run. Boy, I'd get up in the morning and I'd run 6 miles before I even went to school. Just run. Enjoy it. It wasn't for competition. I did a little bit of running in junior high school for competition, that kind of business there. But listen, I just enjoyed running. It's peaceful. But you know what? You got to bring your flesh into subjection to be able to run, because it don't take long. You run just a little bit and you don't want to run no more. Hey, that flesh has got to be told, no, dude, we're running. You're like, but we just did enough. He said, no, you didn't. You know what you got to do? You got to keep the finish line in mind. You got to have a goal. You got to have a desire that this is where I want to end. Brother Estep said, I just want to finish well. Yes, I want to finish. Them preachers tonight, I'm going to have to finish. You got to finish. Yes, if you ain't going to finish, you don't run. Yes, if you don't run, a lot of folks out of church, while they're sitting in church, you ain't running, you're in church. You're churchy, you ain't running for God. Why? Because you're living for your flesh. You know, we got Baptist religion. We know how to dress right, look right, smell right in church. But you get out of church, oh, no, buddy, do whatever you want to do. I suppose you're going to preach on rules. Oh, you're so dumb. You got rules everywhere in your life, and then when it comes to living for God, you're going to call somebody a legalist because they're going to tell you where God said, bring that flesh into subjection. You're going to say God's a legalist because He says you need to be sanctified. Yes, he talks about being holy. Yes, hey, there's some things that are changing in your life. Yes, some of you struggle with standards and you fuss with all that business. And yet you'll wear whatever they want you to wear, work your job.
Yes, sir.
You don't question it then because you like the job.
Right.
But then when somebody tells you you need to look like you're living for God, you're going to gripe and complain because your flesh don't like it.
Right.
You're running for you. You ain't running for God. You want to show up at church? Well, I'm in church. Big deal, man. Catholics go to church every week. Muslims go to church all the time. That don't mean nothing. You say, well, don't you have a sweet message? This is it. Get used to it. See, the flesh runs contrary to the Spirit. He said, hey, listen, He said, you need to do this thing. You need to so run you may obtain. Listen, you're going to run any kind of physical race, you got to follow the rules and you got to run to obtain.
Right.
Well, have you ever tried running hurdles? Any ever tried running hurdles? Man, them things will ruin your legs real quick. They're like, well, you're tall, you're able to get over them. I got a lot of leg to get over them, let me tell you. That'll hurt you. They're real hard on your shins, believe me. Once you learn how to do it, though, it's not so bad. You don't jump over them. Glide. That's what you do. Amen. Just how do you know? Because when I was jumping, I was hurting. You learn to glide, you do all right. Amen. You see, we need to bring our flesh. Listen, the new man wants to please God. Let me ask you something. Are you living to please God or are you living to please you?
Amen.
You know what kills a marriage? When you're living for you. Well, I want. Yeah, that's your problem. You sound just like a devil. I will rise. I will. Hey, Jesus Christ said that He came to do the will of the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, sweat, great drops of blood. He said, not my will, but Thy will be done. God Almighty had to become sin for us. He who knew no sin, that you and I might be able to have redemption, that we might be able to have our sins forgiven, that we might be able to spend eternity with Him. Don't you know He had to bring that flesh into subjection? Hey, it was the flesh man crying out, hey, is there some other way? Just like yours does. Preacher said, this is what you need to do. Are you sure? Imagine Abraham coming back talking from God. He said, we're instituting circumcision. Servants, everybody. I'm at her like, sir, can we have a talk for a minute? What did he say again? Are you sure that was God? Amen. And that's what you do when the preacher tells you this is the way we ought to live, and he shows you what God says out of that book. And you say, yeah, but I know people that, who cares?
Right.
She ain't got a Bible for that? Oh, yeah, we get there. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Now, understand, in the book of Galatians, he's dealing with them trying to live under the law. And he's showing you the contrast really between the living the law and living under grace. But there's what I want you to see here is that Paul, and listen, for us preachers in there, sometimes somebody say, well, look, you just need to preach and don't worry about what happens. Well, that ain't the way Paul was. Paul wasn't that. Hey, you know Paul had expectations for those he was preaching to? Hey, you know what? Every preacher gets up here has got an expectation that you're going to take what you heard today and apply it to your life and live for God. That's the expectation. Paul says here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. You know what he wanted to know? He wanted to know that they were taking what he taught them and applying it to their life so he didn't run the race in vain.
Amen.
Hey, nobody wants to get down to the end and say, why did I even run?
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
Yes. Amen.
Some of you preachers, that's a struggle. You see the church today, you see people, you're pouring your heart out to them, and you're thinking, is it even worth it to get in the pulpit anymore?
Amen, preacher. Amen. Good preacher, brother.
It is, because we're not doing it for us. We're not doing it for them. We're doing it for Him.
Yes,
and one day He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes, sir.
Being faithful is not just when it's a good time. It's being faithful when it's a bad time.
Amen.
It's faithful when it's a hard times.
Amen.
Why? Because we got to bring our flesh into subjection. Our flesh likes easy street. Come on now.
Yeah,
you like easy street.
Right.
Amen. You don't tell your wife, buy the hardest furniture to sit in. Ah, dude, you went to every recliner, kick back, nice and easy, get them feet up, everything real handy, remote control. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Some of you remember when to change the TV, you had to get up and walk over. You had to go back to that. Everybody's so lazy today.
Amen.
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 Oh, man, I tell you what, I wish you could see what I'm seeing. This is all right. Look over Galatians chapter 3. You see, where's the glory message? Hey, we don't get a hold of God and get our flesh into subjection. You can shout and holler all you want to, but it ain't going to mean nothing when you walk out of here and you aren't any different than when you walked in. He said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified, among you. They have bewitched you. They've charmed you. They've sold you a bill of goods. You know what you've done? You've quit going by what God says. You've quit going by what pleases God. And you're worried about pleasing somebody other than God.
Amen.
And you want to make it easy on your flesh. Because nobody likes opposition.
Amen.
So I like a fight. Yeah. You don't like it. You know, he said that you should not obey the truth. You see, we don't have a lack of the availability of the truth. We have a lack of obedience to the truth.
Amen.
That's what we have today. That's what's wrong in our churches. You can get up and preach the truth, and they'll walk out and say, well, you know, I went to this other church and they said this, so that was okay. So, look in Galatians chapter 2 and look in verse 3. He said, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. Hey, you know what he just said? Well, so-and-so, who cares? I don't care. I don't care if it was your grandma. I don't care if it was your mama. I don't care if it was your husband. I don't care if it was your wife. If they told you contrary to that book right there, they're wrong. That's just it. So we got people, well, I went over here and their mommy and daddy says okay. I don't care if their mommy and daddy says okay. They say, well, everybody's doing it. I said, no, everybody's not. You're not. Ain't anybody doing it. You know, listen, you teach and you raise your children to follow the truth, the Word of God, and then they got to do it on their own. Question is, who are they going to listen to? Are they going to listen to the truth, the Word of God, or listen to people who want to give you excuses and dance around it? Amen. Listen, you get a hold of the truth, you stand for the truth regardless of anything else going on. Hey, listen, who would have ever thought in our country that the Supreme Court of our land would say it's okay for two men or two women to marry? If you'd have told me that when I was a kid, I'd have thought you were insane and got out of the asylum and you need to go back. Truth is, they do need to go back. Killing a baby's okay? What? Oh, that's right, we're in America. You know, they had the shooting up there in Columbus, and the young lady was going to kill another young lady, cut her throat with a butcher knife. It's all over the news, man. There's a big ruckus out of it. You watch a video, she's going to stab this girl. And the police officer shot her. He did the right thing.
Yes, sir. Amen.
See, everybody's focusing on this girl that did wrong, but what about the girl whose life got saved? Her parents are probably happy she's still alive.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But I figured out, see, the media put the wrong twist on it.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because that girl that was going to be killed was holding a puppy. And if the media would have said, the puppy, they'd have went, yeah, it's okay. You shot her because you hurt the puppy. You can kill a baby and walk away free, but you kill an eagle, they'll put you in jail. I'm not saying we ought to kill eagles. You understand? A bird versus a human being? So where are we at? I really don't care what they say. I really don't care what they think. Listen, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? You listening to God in that book? I was talking to somebody recently, they said, well, there's this or that. And I said, show me in here. Well, no, show me in here. You're making these decisions, you're doing these things, show me in here.
Yes, sir.
Well, you're a legalist. Well, I'm not an illegalist. He said, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? See, the Bible says in 5:13 of Galatians, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Amen.
How much of our decisions about what we're going to do, how we're going to talk, where we're going to do is all based on flesh versus being obedient to the truth of the Word of God?
Amen.
He said they were bewitched that they should not obey the truth. Who are you listening to that makes you question the truth of the Word of God?
Amen.
What is your guide for what you believe and do? The truth or what everybody else thinks? Everybody's got opinions. They're like armpits. You got two and they stink. Look in Galatians 5 verse 7. Hey, there's a lot of folks starting out right, but they're not finishing. They're dropping out of the race. He says in Galatians 5 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?
Amen.
It's about obedience to God. What happened? What happened? What happened that no, the Word of God is no longer a guide in how you deal with the brethren? The Bible said if you got a problem with a brother, you go to him. You sit down, you work it out. You don't put it on Facebook. I hate Facebook. You're welcome. You say, well, we're broadcasting over. I don't care. You say, there's a lot of good things on it. There are. But Christians on Facebook are the problem, not lost people. Hey, lost people do what lost people do because they're lost people.
Amen, preacher.
You say, well, I use it for good. Well, good, because you're definitely the minority. Why? Because, see, if I don't like Brother Andy and he said something I don't like, I can put on there, Andy, he's a bully. I don't like it. He's mean. And everybody else does the pig pile on it.
Yeah.
You remember as a kid, you take the football and one, give it to one guy, he runs, and everybody chases it, everybody piles on top of him. You remember that? Well, we used to do that as a kid. That's probably what's wrong with us. Amen. We used to have fun as a kid. We weren't inside doing this. We was outside getting fresh air and playing. Amen. But you know what happens? So if I don't like that brother, I can say anything I want to and they'll back me up, thumbs up, like this, like that. You know, all those three people that are your real friends. But anyway, they'll all jump in on that and everyone I'm claiming to be a Christian, they're in complete disobedience to the Word of God. They have no idea what happened.
Yes, sir.
And they'll take the side of a carnal, wicked, ungodly Christian.
Amen.
Or at least one that says they're saved. I don't know if they're saved or not.
Right.
You see, you're judging their salvation? No, I'm a fruit inspector. You know, we had a lot of people had apple trees around where we grew up. And you know what? You go on an apple tree, you look, hey, you can pull an apple off that tree and you look down on that sucker and it's got wormholes in it. You know what you know? You ain't eating that one unless you want extra protein. You know what I'm saying? You look at that and you're like, that's not a good one. I didn't condemn the tree. I just said that fruit wasn't a good one. You know what I do? I look and I find good fruit and I'm like, oh, I like that. You know what you got today, though? You got a lot of people, you walk up and you pull off an apple and they say, well, I'm an orange tree. And you go, no, you're not. You're an apple tree. I'm an orange, man. All right, you're telling me you're an orange. You're claiming to be an orange, but I'm picking apples.
Amen.
Saved or not? I don't know. I'm just checking out the fruit. I'm just saying this fruit don't match what's supposed to be on this tree. This thing got worms. Hey, you know, some of you got worms. Hey, we heard last night how to get rid of the worms, right? That's some good preaching right there. Amen. I'm going to use that illustration. That'll work. Amen? Hey, listen. He said, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Look over at 1 Peter chapter 4. Listen, I'm trying to help this morning. You know what I'm tired of watching? I'm tired of watching people quit. And stop blaming COVID. I'm sick and tired of everybody blaming COVID. Hey, if you quit, that was your excuse. A number of years ago, after I'd resigned the pastorate there at Charity, I was waiting to find out what the will of God was, joined Brother Drummond's church under his leadership, and ended up working part-time, which I still do, at a funeral home. And you know what's interesting about working at a funeral home is all these people dying, everybody's like, oh, it's COVID. We had a few, but it wouldn't amaze you think. You know, because people still die of a lot of other stuff. People don't take care of their stuff. They got a lot of other problems.
Amen.
The people blaming the COVID. Hey, listen, you're just looking for an excuse.
Amen.
Our folks, and they got their problems. I'm telling you what, we had to do the online stuff for just a little bit. My people were like, we won't be in church. We won't be in church.
Amen.
We won't be in church.
Amen.
And then they asked the governor and they said, what about churches? Now, he says from the beginning it was okay, but he didn't make it okay. But then one of the reporters said, okay, what about churches? Hey, well, churches come in. I said, that's all I wanted to hear. We're meeting.
Amen.
We're meeting. Mother's Day last year, we went back. Been back ever since. And do that. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to walk around in fear. But there's a lot of folks that are just looking for excuses. Excuses. It's amazing they can't make it to church, but they can get to Walmart all right. Well, preacher, church is early. Hey, you get these businesses when they open up, you get there early. Well, you know, Sunday's my only day to sleep in, but I guarantee you, if you was going hunting or fishing, you'd be out there before the crack of dawn.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Ladies, that's right, get on them hunters. Well, where are you at, sweetheart, when it comes to the Friday after Thanksgiving sales? There's people camp out the night before to get in that door to get that sale. First thing, no. Hey, whatever it is your flesh wants, you'll do it. You'll do what your flesh wants. Amen.
Yeah.
Plus, if you're going to run, though, hey, you got to tell this flesh no.
Yeah.
Listen, anybody, you do any kind of exercise, there's things you got to tell your flesh no. It's stuff you like. You like cakes and pies and all that good stuff. I do too. I was telling Brother Drummond, man, I like the sweets. Bring them on, man. Give me chocolate. Give me cookies. But my flesh, after a little bit, is going to be like, dude, we can't run now. It's going to take a whole lot more energy to run now. I'm like, yeah, I know. You get Dunlap's disease, Dunlap over the belt. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens.
I know I got that too,
man. We can help you with that, brother. We can help you with that. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. He says in verse 3, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." When? That should be past tense, right? When?
Amen.
Not are?
Yes, sir.
You know, it's problem today. We got a lot still walking in, not when.
Right.
He said, when we walked in lasciviousness. Let me just stop there. This is a little side note. It's not even in my notes. Lasciviousness is those things that promote lust. So men and women, if you're dressing to promote lust, you're guilty of lasciviousness.
Amen.
That's why you're supposed to be modest.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Preacher, today, Christian people running around in leotards.
Right.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? First time I saw a lady in public walk in leggings, I thought, oh my God, that woman done forgot her skirt. Amen. Hey, when I grew up, they had the leggings and they put a skirt. Hey, I don't care what you wear under your skirt. Don't forget the skirt. Amen. Christian people, you a legalist. You're a lasciviousness. Amen. You know what the problem is? They ain't never looked up the word. They ain't know what it means. It just sounds bad. He said, I've got it sounded terrible. It is terrible. It's a sin displeasing to God. It's no different than the lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. He said, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riots, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Hey, these people you're listening to, what do they say? They're out of people. You know, Brother Tom Combs sings a song, "The Old Man's Dead." Talk about he don't run the bars like he used to. Hey, who are you running with?
Amen.
You say, well, I'm in church. I didn't ask you if you was in church. You can run with the wrong crowd in church.
Amen.
Isn't it funny how convenient the Bible is? That's what we was growing up. They'd say, who are you running with? Your mom and dad say, you see that boy over there? See that girl there? That's the wrong crowd. Don't run with that crowd.
Amen.
See, you're running with somebody.
Right.
And you're running for somebody. The question is who?
Amen.
Who are you running for? You running for God or you running for yourself?
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
Well, I'm a self-made man. You better look in the mirror, champ. You ain't doing as good a job as you think. They hinder you. Let me ask you something. Do you feel closer to God now than you did a year ago based on who you're hanging around?
Amen.
You feel like you're closer to God? Huh? You ought to know that. Do they bewitch you? They got you under some kind of charm, some kind of little spell? Hey, listen, young people. Listen, you young ladies in here, little guy wants to whisper sweet nothings to you to tell you how cute and adorable you are.
Yes, sir.
He doing his little charm, his little bewitching.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what will help young ladies. You say, why don't you come talk to my daddy?
Yeah. Amen,
if he ain't interested in talking to your daddy, he ain't interested in you either.
Amen.
You young men in here, she come along, blink them little eyes, look at you. Hey. You're the cutie, man. I've been waiting for you. Yeah, that's what the Proverbs 7 woman said, too. I've been waiting all night for you. Yeah, you better look at her and say, we're ready to pray and serve God, right? You'll know your answer in just about a half a second. Amen? Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll finish here. All right, look at this now. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Now look at this. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run. He said, let us run. Now notice he said, let us run with patience. What brings about patience? Tribulation. Sometimes, hey, listen, you know what he's telling you? He's telling you, listen, when you run, sometimes it's going to be hard. Now, when I was in junior high school, we had there was a friend of mine. He was a black fellow that was probably about 2 or 3 inches taller than me. And I was this tall in junior high, okay? I just like grew really fast. It was awkward. You got great big feet. You're really skinny and you're not coordinated at all. Everybody say, you ought to play basketball. I said, you got to bounce the ball and run at the same time. I'm out. I'm done. That's it. I had a little skinny thing there. They used to use me to get the football out of the sewer. Hold on to his legs. Reach down there and get that football. Pull him out of there. That's just how it was, you know. One of the kids at church, he thought I was kidding him. He's over at the house. And my mom had sent me some pictures when I was a little kid. I said, well, you look. He goes, ooh, wow, you were skinny little dude. Yeah, pretty much. Not much to worry about. But, you know, this man, his name is Bill Foster. And Bill would run, man, and he had a long stride. I don't know how long this dude. But he could stretch it out. And so we had the mile relay, and he was on the mile relay. And back then we ran on a track. It was a cinder track. Some of you may have been around that before. And cinder's not friendly to skin. Let me just say that. And so he's running, and he is striding, and he is making it. And for whatever reason, and we don't understand, and he still don't understand, some reason his feet got tied up, and he tripped, and he went down. And he was leading everybody by, I mean, a long ways. He went down hard. Man, he landed, went down on his hands, his knees on that cinder. It bloodied up his hands, just ripped the skin right off there. His knees hit the ground. And we all just froze. Of course, everybody else kept running and everything. And we're standing there watching. And we're just, this is unbelievable. You know what he did? He got up, and he started running again. And you know what we were doing? We were cheering him on. Now, hey, he wasn't going to win that race. He's going to finish that race. And man, he started off, and he got up, and you know what he did? He got up, and he kind of, and you can see he's in pain. And you don't just take off like a rabbit. When you're hurt, you understand, right? Y'all with me? When you're hurt, some of you hurt today, don't quit running. Don't quit running. Get back up, brush yourself off, and start again. You start a little slower. And there you go. You keep running. By the time he got to the finish line, we're screaming. You'd have thought the people that actually want to understand are cheering him on. Cheering and running. Go, go. And man, you could see just as he starts getting, comes around that last leg and he's coming, you can see the finish line. Man, you could just see it inside him. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah! And man, here he come across there. Yeah! We were hollering, picking him up. Yeah! Finished. It says here there's so great cloud of witnesses. Now listen, there's tribulation. It's hard on the flesh. And I know I'm, like they say, I don't understand why they say preach in the choir, because the choir's always behind her, but you're always preaching to everybody else. But that frequent saying, preach choir. I know that. Listen, I'll preach in here, and we got it. Some preachers taught last night, going through trouble. That everyone's been through trouble, and I hate to break it to us, but we're not done going through trouble yet. Why? We're not home yet. We're not home yet. If you think serving God means no trouble, you are sadly mistaken. Amen. Man, I think about how hard it is sometimes to run. It's hard on the flesh. If you get that finish line. I learned this when I was running. You say, well, 6 miles, that's a long way. Well, you don't do it all at once. You know what I do? I'd be running, and when we had a course, and I ran around where we lived and everything. But what I'd do is I'd just set my sight on one point. All I'd do is I've got to make that point right there. And it's easy when you're first starting out. You're not tired yet. But I'd set my sight on it. I'd get that one. I'd say, okay, now there's that telephone pole right down there. I just got to make it to that pole. The more tired you are, you just set them sights. I've got to make it right here, right here. And then I get down close to where it's the house. I knew once I got to the top of our street, it's a home stride from there. Buddy, and just bust there. You know what happened to us? Sometimes we get knocked down. Sometimes we get knocked around. You should do, you got to get up. And you got to just set your sight on Calvary and say, I'm going to run until I cross that line. Now listen to me. You're not alone. You're not alone. I was thinking about this. You said somebody said they miss Brother Buddy. And I'll tell you, Brother Estep, you know, if we sat here with all of us preachers in here, we could make a long list. And it seemed like it's getting longer as the days go on. Amen. I don't know, and if you don't like what I say, I really don't care. But if they can see us, if they're that cloud of witnesses, and somehow in my heart I believe they are. Amen? But I can imagine them looking down. Amen? And they see us running. And there we come, and then boom, you hit the ground. And you hit hard. When you fall hard. There's no soft landing. Man, and then you want to, and I can see him going, no, get up, come on, get up, come on, no, don't lay down, no, get up, come on, hey, you other Christians, you're supposed to exhort one another, you're supposed to provoke one another, love and good works. What are you doing just leaving that guy laying out there? Come on, you need to help, you need a chairman, come on, we're in this thing together, we're not enemies. Come on, man, get up, all right, you got up, come on, boy, you can do it, get up. About that time, others start coming out. You got to go on. Look at him, man. He failed. He's not. Come on, man. And now, man, that crowd grows because everybody's watching now. Come on, get up. Go. Come on, get up. Another option. Come on. Go around. You can get it. Come on, you got this. Come on, you go. There's a bunch of them up there. They're saying, run from God. Quit running for your flesh. Quit running for somebody else. Quit running to please someone. How about just running for Him? You only need to do, you say, God, listen, I've been running for myself. I'm sorry. Listen, we all battle this flesh, prone to wander. Isn't that us? Come on now. Let's be for real for a minute. Let's throw off the religious little junk going on. Let's just say, hey, listen, why don't we just be for real with God? Some of us preachers, sometimes we can run for the wrong reason. Well, we like it when somebody pats you in the back and says, ooh, boy, that's good. And you're like, well, yeah, it was. Sure it was. Come on now. You said, I ain't never been tempted like that. You're lying. You need to quit your lying. Get on the altar and confess God you're lying. Amen. Why? Because we're all flesh. We're all flesh. Well, why don't we say, listen, I'm flesh, but I want to bring my flesh into subjection. I'm struggling with my flesh. I'm having a hard time with my flesh. Hey, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God said, hey, I'll give you a clean slate, man. You can get up and get back in this race and keep on going. You say, yeah, but I got some things in my past. Leave them there. Just get up and keep going. Get up and keep going. What about us this morning? I know this. I know God's spoken to some of your hearts. I don't know exactly what the Holy Spirit said, but I'm telling you this. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt He's talking to some of you. And I can tell some of you right now, because of the looks coming at me, you shouldn't be mad at me. You should be mad at yourself. I showed you the truth, what God said. Amen. And I love you. I'd never do nothing to hurt you. I promise you. I really wouldn't. But I'll tell you this. We want to see a camp meeting. We want to see God move. Well, we're not going to see God move until we move.
Amen.
And when we move, it's when we get right with Him, and then God will move right in there. God will come, and God will do a work in your heart. And when you leave out of here, you'll be like, man, thank God. God has done something. He recharged me. He helped me out. I want to run for God, not from God. Let's all stand. Listen, there's some of you, your running direction ought to be up here. It ought to be up here.